Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode live, while we're recording.
Recording live.
From Disneyland. Specifically, we are sitting in the New Orleans Square area. The Rivers of America are right at our backs. We're actually looking at Jack and Sally. They're up in the balcony above Royal Street Veranda right now.
We are sitting in front of the anchor that is sitting along the waterfront. So if you're curious to know exactly where we're at, it's a beautiful Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We've done quite a bit of stuff, but that's what the whole episode's going to be about, so I won't start spoiling it there. We won't have any normal trivia or anything this week. It's just going to be us talking about the last couple days.
Yes. So to begin our trip, we did start on Saturday. I won't get into it too much because it's the not fun part, but we did not have great luck with flights again this time around. So we've decided that we're not going to use the same airport. The smaller airport's just not working out for us. Even though it should be more convenient, it's causing more headaches. So we did end up getting in to California about it was actually closer to 5 hours later than originally scheduled. But we still were able to get into the parks that afternoon, so everything was still okay.
Yeah, no, it worked out pretty well once we got here. So we were able to get into Disneyland that night. We got checked into our hotel room and came over. So this will become more important later, but I had a 5-day park hopper with MaxPass from before the parks closed down. Teresa had the 3-day park hopper without MaxPass from, again, before the parks closed down. So our plan was to come in and take that ticket and convert it to a Magic Key while we were here, because we want to be Magic Key holders again and get all the benefits that that entails. But we got here and we came in and we did Disneyland that evening, and we were not very good at eating. So the first thing we wanted to do was eat. I don't even remember. What did we eat?
It was a very long day, and with the whole airport situation, we didn't have much for food options, and sometimes not much time because we ended up sitting in the smaller airport for forever. But then when we finally got to the bigger airport to make our connection, we had to just rush over and couldn't grab any food. So when we finally got here, first stop was actually Bengal Barbecue.
That's
so I
thought
that was a good way to start our Disney trip and a good food item to start with. We both had the plates. I had the, what did I have? I had
the veggie
skewer on my plate, which highly, highly, highly recommend. So flavorful.
And you had the bagel.
And I had the bagel, like just the bagel's beef skewer with a sweet Zulu sauce, which always a favorite.
Yeah, so I had just two of the bagel with the Zulu sauce because I like that. Although, I'll tell you, I tasted that sauce that they put on the veggie one, and that sounded amazing.
There was. It was some sort of like a garlic sauce. I don't know what it was, but it was good. And it was seasoned really well. Honestly, I'm going to go on a limb and say I might like that slightly better than the skewers themselves. It was so flavorful.
I was just really happy because usually I order an extra thing of sauce, and I forgot to order the extra thing of sauce, but they put enough sauce on this time.
They did.
That was really good. We also got, what did we get? There was like a special drink or something, wasn't
there? Oh, yeah, the Jungle Julep, one of my favorites. It's kind of like a slushy drink. They've had it here for a while. I feel like it started here as a specialty drink for some sort of specific whatever event, but it's stuck around. It's weird because it's not on the menu, but if you ask for it, they have it. So highly recommend the Jungle Julep. It's sweet, not too sweet, but it's cold and refreshing.
Yeah, so that was really good. It was nice. We met up with Kate, who is one of our community managers, and her daughter Jude, and we hung out with them for a little bit.
Also Deanne, who's
one of our
community members,
who we'll talk to you about later, but she was Tinkerbell for part of our trip, which was awesome. We went over and we did Haunted Mansion Holiday, which was great. The line moved pretty quick, even though the line was kind of basically to the front gates of the attraction. We also ran into a weird situation that we had never run into on Haunted Mansion, at least I haven't, which is we got in the elevator, the stretching room, went down, and then the doors opened and we could not move because something was going on.
A wall of people. The whole portrait hallway was backed up and it was solid. And actually, the other stretching room was still trying to slowly get themselves unloaded. So it took us a while, and we got to spend a lot of extra quality time here in the stretching room. Kind of cool. It was fun because it was actually Deanne's first time, so she was just in awe. We got a lot of time to sit and kind of look at the details inside the stretching room. Again, it did take us quite a while to get it through the portrait hallway as well, but spoiler alert, all of this waiting and like start stopping really actually worked to our advantage once we got on the attraction.
Yes, Teresa was very excited because we're able to, the first time we stopped where we always seem to stop, where the dude's trying to get
let
out
me
of
out,
the,
let me out,
yeah,
let me out, let me
trying
out.
To get out of the coffin. Then we're going and then we stopped in the seance room, which
do
was.
Do you like that? I don't actually know what that scene name is, but it's just the let me out, let me
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right. like that room has a name because it's, somebody's
like,
going to write
it
and
like
tell
us. It's kind of like a funeral and it looks like, you know what it is? It's like the conservatory.
I think that's what it's called, actually.
Yeah. I still like the let me out, let me out.
Yeah. So we got into the seance room and we were stopped again, and that was cool to watch everything kind of go around.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the ballroom scene, and Teresa was so excited because she wanted to look at the gingerbread house, slowed down enough for her to be able to do that.
We slowed down when our doom buggy was like dead straight centered onto it. It was perfect. And that gingerbread house, it just every year blows me away. It's crazy to me how just gargantuan that thing is. It's gingerbread sugar, you know, just amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it looked really good this year. Of course, we continued through. Then we stopped again
in the
graveyard in front of Sally. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. The mansion still looks really good from their refurbishment that they did.
Great.
And Haunted Mansion Holiday is always a treat. So we were very excited to be able to go on that and enjoy that with everybody.
Definitely, we'll be riding that one several times throughout this trip. So after Haunted Mansion Holiday, trying to think what we did. Oh, this is like the peak. So after Haunted Mansion Holiday, we decided to go on to Indy. This has been one of the highlights of the trip for sure.
For most people, it wouldn't be, but it is.
Definitely. We're nerds, so it was exciting. So we got on Indy. Everything seemed fine, except apparently we let the wrong person drive, because as we got into the snake room, we went over the bridge into the snake room. The snake is on our right-hand side of the vehicle. All of a sudden, the vehicle stops.
And sits down.
And all the lights come on. And we just, of course, geek out.
Yes.
I want to say we probably sat in the Jeep in that room for, it was maybe 15
minutes, maybe?
Up to 20 minutes. And then we did have a cast member come up to the vehicle saying that we wouldn't be let off. But they were actually going to start the ride back up again. So this poor cast member had to walk the entire track to tell every vehicle this. And they did. They started the attraction back up. However, the lights did not turn off, so we got to ride Indy all the way to the boulder scene with the lights on. So cool. So tell them about the boulder scene.
Oh, not even about the boulder scene. One of the things I noticed while we were sitting there, I just want to talk about this because I'm a nerd and I thought this was so cool.
It's like the broom.
Yeah, it's like the broom. So it stopped. Well, first of all, it stopped. And right when the attraction stopped, the Jeep was tilting to the left because it was recoiling from the snake.
Mm-hmm.
And when the attraction stopped, it flattened out and, like, sank down. It was like you were on an air mattress that deflated.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, and then we were sitting there, and I looked over and I saw some movement, and I was like, what's going on? The handrail comes out of the ground and I didn't even know there was a handrail there. So I was so nerdy. But anyway.
It was like a safety handrail over on the hill that you go down after the snake. And like, so you don't fall into the lava pit in front of the skull rock.
So, like Teresa said, we started going. The lights were still on. The audio was in and out. It was interesting because there was sections of this attraction. Spoiler alert, by the way. Magic spoilers. Some of those dark rooms you go through, there's a lot of stuff hiding around corners in the darkness that you don't know. There was like a mop bucket.
Do you know what, though?
Rooms.
It's because we always hear about how much fluids those Jeeps are leaking. So they have all these like cleanup stations, basically, throughout the attraction, which makes sense. So some poor cast members not having to like lug cleaning supplies with them throughout the entire attraction. They just have these little like cleaning stations. So that was interesting. And then we got to the highlight, the boulder room. So we did get to see second to last scene, I guess, because the final scene is the boulder crashed.
Right.
But we did get to see the boulder room with the lights on. And then suddenly we're parked there, we're under Indy, and all of the lights
turn off.
And we're just sitting in the pitch black. So that was a different experience.
Yes. What was so interesting was, so we sat there for a while and eventually it continued on. So we got to the load station. And the cast member said, do you guys want to go again? Of course, like, we were like, yes. And their system must require that everything gets unbuckled. They can't just send somebody back through. So everybody had to unbuckle their seat belts and hold the end of the seat belt up over their heads. And it was kind of funny because I had to hold two up because I had an empty seat next to me.
It felt like some sort of, like, grand gesture, like, woo! Like, it was, I don't know, like, I felt nerdy and excited about it. Like, we get to go again! Like, some
It was like
thing.
An offering to Mara.
There
like,
you go.
Here's the
there
end of
go.
The belt. So we all clipped back on, we went through, and that time went through pretty okay.
Yeah.
It was working better than when we came in July, because when we came in July, I was kind of disappointed. It wasn't our last ride of the trip like it normally is because there were some technical difficulties that when we came in July just weren't working well. I will say, I know this is jumping way ahead, but literally right before we sat down to record the podcast, we rode Indy again. And that was the best I've ridden it since the park has reopened.
Yes.
There was only one effect that really didn't work, but everything else was great.
Yes.
So I was so happy about that.
So then after Indy, after we finally boarded our second journey through the temple, or disembarked our second journey through the temple,
right.
We decided it was time for fireworks. So we went over in front of, we were on Main Street. We were actually in a really good, I was able to snag us a pretty good spot. Tag went over to the Plaza Inn to go get us some dessert. We got a couple pieces of the monster cake from the Plaza Inn. Super cute cake, very colorful, but I mean, it's just kind of, it's cake-flavored cake. It's not it's not one of the specialty cakes that have some sort of fancy flavors or anything different about it, but it was just fun and cute and Halloween-themed. We did get to eat that on Main Street. Like I said, we were actually stationed in a good spot. We were centered to the castle, which was great. We were pretty close to the front, which was also great. We were standing, if you kind of think about it, in between Jolly Holiday and Plaza Inn was like the section we were in. Fantastic. Watched Halloween Screams. What did you think? That was your first time watching.
Yeah, I've never seen it in person before. I thought it was great. I love seeing Zero fly over the castle. I enjoy Jack popping up and being helpful. In general, I thought it was a great, great fireworks show. I was very happy. Again, we're going to talk about the Oogie Boogie Bash pretty soon, but all these things that Teresa has seen before, but I have not, have turned out really well. I've really enjoyed all of them. So
you
that
believe
was really
good. Me now?
I do believe you, although I think that the things that, and again, we'll get to this in the Oogie Boogie Bash, but the things that you get excited about and the things I get excited about sometimes are a little different.
Yeah.
So when it comes to things like the fireworks or something at Oogie Boogie Bash, like, I'll get excited about different things than you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, this thing was great, and then I'm like, oh, it was okay, and then I was like, this thing was great, and you're like, yeah, I guess.
That's how they build the shows. They build it for everyone to enjoy some special part about it, for sure.
It's true.
So after that, we, maybe it was me, made the decision, which was not a good decision.
What do you mean, maybe?
We didn't even think about this. We're like, hey, we had a couple of weekly tiers that joined us, and we had some littler weekly tiers that were with us, so we decided to go to Fantasyland so that we could all enjoy some attractions together. So we decided to go back to Fantasyland. I knew for sure, obviously, we're not going to be able to walk through the castle to get to Fantasyland after the fireworks, but surely we can walk, you know, towards, like, in between the Matterhorn and the castle and get back on that pathway. Nope, wrong again. Blocked off. So we had to walk all the way around the Matterhorn.
Yes.
And then by the time we got to the backside of Fantasyland, they have a mini rope drop, actually. And so all of Fantasyland was still closed. Thankfully for us, not for long. It took us long enough to get back there that we only had to wait a minute, maybe two. Rope drop happened. We went on to Snow White and saw her Enchanted Wish. That was pretty nice because we were pretty close to the front of that. They did have to cycle through some of the ride vehicles, so it wasn't truly walk on, but we got to go experience Snow White. After that, we went for a spin with Mr. Toad.
Yes. Yeah, I love Mr. Toad, so I was glad we got to go on that. Yeah, so right, like Teresa said, right after the fireworks, it is like a rope drop. People rush over. The line for Peter Pan filled up like immediately,
yes,
it felt like.
Yes, it did.
So it was nice to go on Snow White's Enchanted Wish again. We saw that back in July. Still beautiful as ever. I enjoyed it more, I think, this time because I looked at different things. The first time you look at like the big things, I went through and I looked at some things I didn't see the first time, so that was really nice. Mr. Toad was Mr. Toad. There wasn't anything new and exciting there. After Mr. Toad, we kind of broke up with everybody, and it was just Teresa and I and Deanne, and we went to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
And we got to enjoy that. It had been down a lot of the day, so that's why we hadn't gone on it earlier.
Yeah, it was interesting. When we first had gotten here that evening, there was quite a few attractions that were down. Like Tag just said, Pirates was down. Obviously, Indy was on and off. I'm trying to think. There were some other ones that are down, too. Of course, Big Thunder Mountain is not going on right now because it is under refurbishment until beginning part of November.
November 5th,
it just kind of felt a little weird as far as attractions went because our normal go-tos were not available for us. But Pirates, I'm just going to say this, Pirates is making me a little sad right now because when we were here in July, I noticed there was a couple of the animatronics that weren't doing their best. The ones that were super noticeable to me in July were the pirates that are on the ship with Barbossa that are like manning the cannons. Mm-hmm. They didn't seem to be like moving as much as normal. Well, this time, none of them were moving. There was one guy that popped his head up once in the entire time that we slowly went by the boat. So that was not up to normal. And then poor Jack at the end in his treasure room, he's not looking so good either. He's had too much rum, so much so that he's become a ventriloquist because he doesn't even have to move his lips anymore to make to talk. So, and then there is the pirates, not the like pirates that we all know and love that are trying to bribe the dog in the jail scene, but the pirates that are before that in their cell. They weren't moving around. They must have given up getting out of the cell because they weren't moving around very much either. So, pirates need some TLC, I think.
Yeah, pirates. But, you know, I think they're slowly getting there because, like I said, since July, Indy's gotten better. Yes. Obviously, they just had the big switch over for Haunted Mansion Holiday. They're refurbishing Big Thunder Mountain. So they're getting there. I think they're finally getting, they're starting to get their legs under them after COVID. Seems like their maintenance is getting a little bit better and stuff like that. So we just want to let people know, you know, things are getting better. It's not all doom and gloom and all that stuff.
Correct, yes.
But we just want to report on our experiences,
and
which
what
I think.
Seeing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is what I think is important. So after Pirates, we left because we were tired. So we left and went back to our hotel room because the next day we had a full day. It felt
very
like it was two
day.
Or 3 days because we got up in the morning. We went over to Downtown Disney and over to the Disneyland Hotel. We had Teresa got coffee at the little coffee hut at the Disneyland Hotel, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we went and got breakfast. We ordered kids' meals.
we were feeling pretty cool with our kids' meals over at the Tongariro Terrace. We got the kid size of the Tongariro Toast because we knew we had kind of a weird schedule for dining with dining reservations at 3 p.m. for dinner. So we were trying to eat a lighter breakfast and maybe a lighter lunch so that we were still had great appetites for that dining reservation at 3 p.m.
In addition to the day before of our terrible eating.
Yes. So it was good. Our Tongariro Toast was good.
Yeah.
I will say the kids' version of it is very different than the adult version.
Yeah.
So if you want the true Tongariro Toast experience, make sure you get the adult size. Maybe share it with a friend if you're not feeling too hungry.
Or a couple friends.
That's what we should have done. But it was still tasty.
Yeah, it was definitely tasty. The one thing with the mobile ordering was weird is because the kids' menu said it comes with either regular bacon or turkey bacon, but it doesn't give you an option in the app.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Teresa thinks we got the turkey bacon.
I think we got the turkey bacon.
But
yeah,
I don't know what determines that. But it was a pretty decent breakfast for us.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a caramel sauce that was also very good.
It was a nice size.
Yeah.
It was like a good size. Not too much, but just enough.
Yeah, so after that we did our supporter hangout, and we did that from the Tongariro Terrace. After that, we went and did our public live stream, which you guys can check out on youtube.com/DLWeekly. The public live stream is still on there from this month. And Teresa was very excited because what did we do for our public live stream, Teresa?
So we went back into Downtown Disney. We went through security a lot on Sunday, now that I think about it. But we went back into Downtown Disney and we participated in Pluto's Pumpkin Pursuit. So you can buy the cards for this scavenger hunt type game at a couple different locations. I believe it was World of Disney, the dress shop, and then also at Pin Traders. We purchased our card at Pin Traders since that was the closest location to us and started our journey and our search through Downtown Disney. The pumpkins are so cute. The cards are nice because it's obviously this is designed for kids, but they kind of give you hints on the card as to where to even look for pumpkins. So it'll say something like Marceline's. And then you know, okay, there's a pumpkin at Marceline's, and the other side of the cart has the stickers of what the pumpkins look like. So you have an idea of what it is that you're looking for and where to find it. So it was very fun, kid-friendly. If you're an adult and you're interested in doing it, it didn't take much longer than a stroll through downtown Disney normally would. So it's not a huge time investment, but it was a ton of fun. And then we also got to show our card. You get to keep the card, but you show your card and you get a fun prize at the end. The prize this time around is a Halloween-themed travel insulated tumbler.
Yeah, you get choice of one of four of them.
Yep.
I will say that, so I was with Teresa when she did the Easter egg hunt in Downtown Disney. And I will say that I thought that the pumpkin hunt was a lot easier. It just seemed like these things weren't as well hidden or something. Because there was a couple we just happened to look at. And
the thing I think with the Easter eggs is they were lighter colors. So they weren't as like poof, like they didn't pop out
as
much. Yeah.
Yeah, so she went and did that. And then, so that was, again, if you want to see all of that and see what they look like and where they're at, of course, spoilers, we saw all of them on the stream.
All of the spoilers. If you just want to virtually do the pumpkin hunt, definitely watch. If you're wanting to do it yourself and not know where they are, skip it until you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you want to see, we did a little bit of shopping at the end of that stream at World of Disney after Teresa got her tumbler.
We kind of failed at the shopping because I didn't find the set of ears that I was looking for, but that is okay.
Right. And then after that, we went and did our weekly tier meetup that we did at the Disneyland Hotel. So the Tongariro Terrace got a little busy, and they have, like, reserved seating and stuff like that. So we actually moved it over. There's a fireplace with some nice little seating just around the corner, which ended up being great. We want to send a shout-out to everybody who stopped by and saw us, because this was the biggest weekly tier meetup we've done so far. We will post a picture. Actually, the picture will probably be the episode graphic of our group photo of everybody being there, because it was
so much fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and we're so thankful that you guys all came and said hi, and we got to meet and talk with you guys. Some of you guys we've never met before, and it was nice to finally put faces to names and meet some of you, you know, that have listened and supported us. So thank you so much for that.
Also, fun to see a lot of familiar faces of people that we've seen and met at previous meetups, or people that we bumped into at the park. So thank you again. Big shout out, big thank you to all of our weekly tiers that were able to make it to the meetup. If you weren't able to make it to the meetup, don't fret. This is not going to be our last meetup. We do plan to have one basically every time that we're out here. So they're just a ton of fun. We did joke that with this being the largest of our meetups, we went around the group so we could all introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
So everybody know who everyone was. I think we're going to have to start getting name tags to help everyone know who's who for these. It was so much fun.
So I want to just say this on a podcast, so it's not directed at any particular person, but when you guys meet us, let us know who you are a couple times, because I'm terrible at names. And every time we have a meetup, I'm always like, I don't remember who this person is, and I feel horrible for it. So don't take it personally if I don't remember you, because I like miss it, or there's so much going on that I whatever. So, yeah.
So it was finally time for Oogie Boogie Bash to begin. We actually decided to do something a little bit differently, and we went to the Grand Californian because we wanted to go see the big Oogie Boogie Rice Krispie sculpture that they've got there. He's fantastic.
We also heard the line was shorter.
It smells amazing over there. And yeah, there's a park entrance back there that not a lot of people use, because typically it's only open for hotel guests, but they were letting Oogie Boogie Bash folks enter over there. So we were actually able to enter. I was surprised. The ticket says that you can enter as early as 3 p.m. They started letting people in, though. I think it was like 2:20.
Yeah.
So that was really nice, because I was nervous about a dining reservation, because it was really close to when we could first get in. So I was like, oh no, are we going to make it over there in time? But we had plenty of time. So that was nice. So the first thing that we actually did was, oh, we've forgotten something, because the first thing we did, we didn't even start the story of. First thing we had to do was go over to guest relations.
Oh, let me tell this story, because I was the one who screwed it up.
Because
yeah. So when we were sitting doing our hangout, one thing we had been doing all the last 2 days was we had the Magic Key calendar open, looking to make sure that we could get in the park Monday and Tuesday, or at least Monday. And we were continuously refreshing it. And I was on my phone. I had the checkout process done. All I had to do was hit convert key from our day tickets to our magic keys. And it came up that the day was available. So I hit the buy thing. But by the time it processed and I got back, that was gone. Turns out
Yeah.
Turns out that that's not how it works. So what it works is we had a reservation for those tickets anyway. And even though the ticket was gone and that reservation is not valid any longer, it was still connected to the account for some weird way. It wouldn't have worked.
It didn't. We were stuck in this really weird, vicious cycle where the app thought we had a reservation. It showed we had a reservation, but it wasn't actually a reservation that we could use because it was linked to the ticket that no longer exists because that ticket was now a magic key. So we would look on the website, not logged in, and it would show availability for the days that we were trying to reserve. But then when we tried to get in through the app with the key, it would say, oh, no, you cannot. You already have a reservation.
Yeah.
So it showed as unavailable. So it was kind of this weird mess. We weren't sure how to fix it. So since we had extra time because they let us into the parks early, we decided to go over and talk to our helpful friends over at the guest relations service desk.
We talked to a really nice guest relations cast member. And he was really great because he set the expectation in the beginning that, like, he may not be able to do anything for us, which I think is always wise because, you know, he can't guarantee anything. But he was able to delete out those old reservations, and because there was an available, at the time we were there, we got lucky, because there were available reservation slots or whatever for those days, he was able to get them for us and attach them to our account, and everything was great. So Thank you for the cast member. He did tell us that they used to, with the old annual pass program, they had a little bit more leeway of being able to make changes and fix things and do things. But with the new Magic Key program, there's a Magic Key hotline you have to call for a lot of things. So beyond the basic limited stuff, they recommend that you call the Magic Key hotline. So
yeah, because he was actually worried that something was messed up even more and that, like, for whatever reason, we weren't, the app, like, got stuck and wasn't going to let us make any reservations past the ones that we were trying to do. I don't think that's the case. I think it was just the weird in-limbo reservations that were attached to the account but didn't really exist thing.
Absolutely.
So so after that, we went to the Wine Country Trattoria, and we I feel like a ridiculous person because we finally know for sure, Trattoria, because that's how they introduced and said, welcome to the Wine Country Trattoria when we were there. So now I know. I was saying Trattoria.
Me too.
So anyways, Wine Country Trattoria, we were there to do the dining package for the parade route. We both had the starter salad, which was great.
Oh. I have to tell you about this starter salad, people. So, first of all, our server was amazing.
Yeah.
The whole way around, he was amazing. The second thing, this salad, so it was just the house salad, but it had a like an oil and vinegar dressing.
We didn't even have a choice of dressing.
No.
This was just the dressing that it came with.
I just wanted to drink like an entire gallon of this stuff. It was so good. The only thing that was strange for me is there's two things in this salad that I wasn't a fan of. It had some celery and some beans, and for me, I don't really like either of those things. So I just pushed them to the side and ate it. It was a great, great salad. For the main course, we decided to do a little bit of an upgrade. So if you get the steak, or they have some meatballs you can upgrade to and some other things. So for the steak, you have to pay. There's a $10 upcharge. Teresa and I both like steaks. We both ordered the ribeye, which was really good.
It was good. It was seasoned very well. It's interesting because it's a 10-ounce ribeye, but it's
huge.
It's thin, but it's like very large looking. So it's a little like overwhelming when they first set it in front of you. You're like, whoa. But it was very, very good. We were also quite hungry because, as you remember, at this point, the only thing we have eaten was our kids' meal breakfast from the Tongaroa Terrace at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
So it had been a while. We didn't pace ourselves very well with food. So the big dining package we were definitely ready for.
Yeah, and then also on this meal, it came with some bacon and Brussels sprouts, which were really good.
Super good.
And then it also had this, like, potato lasagna thing. It was so good.
It was scallop potatoes, but they were, like, layered up on each other with this, like, thick, creamy, like, garlicky cheese sauce that they just stuck together. And, yeah, that's a great way to explain it. It was like a scallop potato lasagna type thing.
It was so good.
Awesome.
It was so good.
We were joking that we just, like, can you just bring out the pan? Because this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Did have a dessert that was also included with it. I don't remember what they called it. It was a cauldron cake, I believe.
Yeah.
This was interesting.
Yes.
I would not go out of my way to order this dessert. We kind of had to deconstruct it to figure out what in the world was all going on with it.
We still don't really know.
The shell on the outside, we think, is a cosmic orb that you can get
just
over at Avengers Campus. And it's, just the kind of, like, outside, like, cream puff crust part of it. They scooped out all the the creamy purple goodness from it. And in its place, what all was in there? I don't even remember. There was apples?
Yeah, there was like a baked apple on the bottom. There was some type of berry.
And it was like a cinnamon apple thing. There was some sort of
berry thing. There was like
a
brownie thing. There was this weird cookie crumble stuff that was on the outside.
Yeah, and then there was this the green frosting stuff on the top. It was very good. I guess it wasn't a frosting. It was probably more of a mousse. To me, the flavors, there was too much going on with the flavors.
There was a lot.
It was good. The one I had for 2019, infinitely better. That Oogie Boogie little cake thing that they had for the dining package then was awesome. This one just, it missed the mark for me.
Yeah. It was fun. I think I was the only one at our table. There was 9 of us at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one, I think, that finished it.
I think you were. I didn't even realize you had finished it.
Yeah. And also, going back to the main course, I want to say that Jill was sitting next to me, and she had the vegetarian pasta, and she thought it was really good.
That looked delicious.
Liberty, one of our community managers, mm-hmm. was there, and she had the
shrimp Alfredo.
Shrimp Alfredo, which she said was also very good.
Mm-hmm.
Kate was there with us, and her and Jude. She had spaghetti. Jude had the kids meal. I don't remember what
she also had spaghetti.
For her starter thing, she got some fruit, some mm-hmm. fresh fruit, and for her dessert, she got, what was her dessert?
It was like a dirt dessert.
It looked good.
It did look very good. And Kate actually had a bite of it and said that the child's dessert was better than the cauldron cake. Because she said that it wasn't like pudding. It was like a chocolate mousse.
Yeah. The other thing to note that we run into that we thought was a little not great with the Magic Key discount at this point was, unlike before where you could hand them your Magic Key card and they'd go use it or whatever.
Bye, Jack and Sally. They're leaving now. Goodbye.
The poor server had to write down all of our numbers to give us our discounts for everything. So that was a little rough. But overall, it was really good. The server was really good and everything like that.
Even there was a gentleman that was kind of like the assistant server, I guess, because he wasn't our main server, but he'd come over and help with clearing plates or getting refills. He was also awesome as well.
Absolutely. I want to say
congratulations.
Thank you.
So I always like to comment on people's buttons. It's kind of my thing. So we just had some people walk by that had a happily ever after button. So I wanted to say congratulations. I always say that for the birthdays, too. The only time it's bitten me so far is we were leaving Indy, and there was a kid with a just celebrating, or I'm celebrating, but it didn't say anything. So I almost said happy birthday. I went happy, it's not your birthday.
I was going to say, you definitely did start that.
So what did we do after our dinner?
So after that, we decided to go back in the back part of the park. We were going to kind of work our way from the back to the front as far as the activities went. We went back to see Sid. He was on Pixar Pier. The idea we had was there were some places we definitely wanted to see when it was like dark out, and other places that it didn't really matter if it was dark or light or not.
Which I think is a good plan.
So we decided it didn't matter if we saw Sid in the dark or not, because that experience is more about the interaction than it is about the ambiance, which, holy cow, that probably... It's crazy to say this. That was maybe one of my favorite characters in the interactive treat trails, because he was almost like a stand-up comedian, and the Sid was just great. He would find different things. We had a group of people in front of us that were dressed as the seagulls from Finding Nemo. So they
had mine.
And so they went up and
their shirt said mine. That's important for this story.
Yes. They came up and they were just, you know, going through the treat trail, and he kind of looked at them, and you could watch him, like, so the wheels were spinning, like trying to figure out what can I do with this? And so he started a like mine argument with them. He's like, no, these are my toys. And so they went, mine? And he's, no, mine. Mine? Mine. It was great. It went on for a little bit, almost too long.
Great.
It was so funny.
It was great.
But he was really great. He had great, just great one-liners and like, duh, bye. Like really good, like sassy little things. It was great.
This character was great, and it was a good start to the party for sure. Again, like Drew said, it wasn't dark out yet, so this is not one that you have to wait for the darkness. We had before that gone over because there's a Magic Key pass holder photo op, but we got there and they said, well, we want to give you the candy, and the candy hasn't arrived yet, so come back later. So that actually worked out better because there is a lighting aspect to it that I don't think would have shown up
early,
but. So after that, we walked over and went up and went to Cars Land, and we went through the treat trail there for Cars Land, which...
We kind of made the mistake. We thought it was a character treat trail. It was just a treat.
Yeah.
Treat. trail.
But that's okay, because we got over to Carsland just in time for Teresa to see her lighting ceremony. Talk about the lighting ceremony.
The lighting ceremony was fun. It's much different during Halloween time than it is normally. They do start the Life Would Be a Dream song, and then all of a sudden, the record, stops. And they do, it's a totally different song. And the lighting itself is much different. And
it's cool.
To the music. There are eyes, in different windows. Very cool. I will say it's not as easy to dance to, but still very fun.
No, I agree with you. It was a lot of fun to see that. Again, I have never been to Carsland during Halloween. So, the city hall has, eyeballs.
Yes, the decorations
as part of it. Mm. And just everything about Carsland is just pretty amazing.
Chain cobwebs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just incredible.
After
the transformation.
That, we went over to...
Avengers Campus.
Oh, I was so excited. So, we got in the line for the tree trail for Agatha. And she did not disappoint for me. Because I thought she was... amazing. I'm not going to say much about her experience this time because we went to her a second time, which I thought was better because the line wasn't really there and there weren't as many people the second time, so we had a little bit more interaction. But that area with the sanctum, they really have it curved around in there to be a treat trail.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. What did we do after Agatha?
So after Agatha, we continued down and around an Avengers campus, went past the Guardians building, and over between the Hyperion Theater and the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower is where the Mad Hatter is. So we went and said hi to the Mad Hatter.
Can I just say something that popped up on the screen real quick? Our boarding group just got called, but go ahead.
So we went back to see the Mad Hatter. Now, this is one of the tree trails you definitely want to see when it's dark outside.
Yes.
When I went the first time to Oogie Boogie Bash, I didn't realize that. So I went to see the Mad Hatter when it was still dusk out. Not as cool. The lighting and the smoke and fog effects over there, so, so, so cool. So I went to see the Mad Hatter. After the Mad Hatter, we went to see Mr. Oogie Boogie himself.
Oh,
we had to go
cool
pay
too.
Our respects and say hi to the main man. And what did we do after Oogie Boogie?
Oh, goodness. What did we do after Oogie Boogie?
Parade.
Oh, we decided to go over because Kate and Jude, with the child's meal that you get with the dining package, you get a popcorn voucher to get a bucket and some popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So she went over to the Mendocino Terrace, which is where she had to pick up the box, the popcorn bucket. And we, I think, went to the restroom or something, and we ended up back over there.
Yeah.
And we decided to sit along, not where Little Mermaid is, but on the other side of the San Francisco street there, in front of, what is even there? The Wine Country Trattoria, I guess, Trattoria, the closest part to the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's further than that. There's a little shop that we were standing in front of.
That's what
but
it was.
But we decided, so with the dining package, it did come with parade viewing. I was not a big fan of the parade viewing. We walked past it. I showed it to Tag and let him decide, what do you think? Since it was his first time experiencing the parade and doing the dining package. And he was like, yeah. This is a pretty long parade route. We can probably find better. So we walked up a little bit further, and I do agree. We did find better seating. I like watching parades on, the opposite sides of corners, if that makes any sense. So I like to be able to kind of not see it coming, straight on, then I have to, look around people. But I like when it's, a corner that's coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't really have to look around, that I'm on the opposite side of the corner, if that makes any sense to anyone. So we were able to find one of those corners and find a really great spot. And got to experience a frightfully fun parade.
So I've never seen this parade in person. And I will say that it is a great parade.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a kind of strange area. The audio zone we were in kind of started really early. But beyond that, Headless Horseman, amazing.
And Ichabod.
Beginning of the parade, amazing. Seeing the hitchhiking ghosts.
Hands down, I'm not even saying this because Haunted Mansion is my thing. Hands down, the Haunted Mansion unit of this parade is just remarkable. The hitchhiking ghosts used to ride on the float. They have actually been moved off the float. They are the beginning of this area, and they've got the coolest little dances that they're doing.
Yep.
The ballroom dancers are great. You need to. We did watch this parade, this unit of the parade at least twice. And I told Tag, you've got to look at the action, watch the dancers, watch the hitchhiking ghosts, because, right, everyone kind of looks past the dancers sometimes and just focuses on the float. But they were incredible. They were just so incredible. The ballroom dancers were acting like they were, I don't know, like zombies or something with all of their movements and how they did stuff, the looks on their face. Just amazing and incredible. The float itself has the mansion, but now we've got the bride. as our main person on the float itself, she was amazing. Like, she almost looked robotic in her movements. They were so precise and fluid. She wasn't just up there waving like the princesses or whatever. She was very, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
The next part of the parade that I really enjoyed was they had, of course, like the grave diggers and stuff, which I love their shovels because as they drag them along the ground, they sparkle, spark and everything. There was also a section that had Jack and Sally with the vampires moving around.
I got too excited about the Haunted Mansion.
They were also very, very cool. So just in general, I would say, without having to go through every bit of the parade, I want to say that in general, it was really a great parade, and I recommend anybody see it. And there's so much to see that if you do have time, which I know is not, there's not a lot of time, but if you do have time, go back and watch the second half. We saw the parts we really liked together at the later performance, because there's one at 7:45 and there's one at 10 o'clock.
So after the parade, we decided to head back and check out Villains Grove. Now, I will say, overall, this was the experience that I had previously, too. Overall, lines at these events look atrocious.
They do.
But they move. They move very quickly. Even with the Villains Grove, we were told that it was going to be like a 55-minute wait. It was probably closer to 30 minutes, if even that. So don't let the lines fool you. Just do it. Commit, because it's going to take you longer to walk back and forth to go back there to do it again. So, Tag, I feel like I've already like talked about Villains Grove. You can probably listen to that if you go back in the archives. But since this was Tag's first time experiencing Villains Grove, what did you think?
I will say that there was a lot of stuff to be excited about with Boogie Boogie Bash. I honestly thought that Villains Grove for me, and I expected it to be this way, but I'm glad that I was right.
That it lived up to your expectations.
For me, it was worth the cost of admission. And the one tip that Teresa gave that totally made it a lot better is walk through it slowly. They don't rush you through. You can take your time. People can go past you, whatever. But really take your time through it, because each scene looks like not a lot is going on if you walk by quickly, but if you sit and watch, there's actually a kind of a story that happens with each one.
Yes.
And there's, because, you know, they tell you when you get in line, there are no actual villains, like, you're not going to meet a villain.
Right.
There's no candy or anything, like, there's no treats, but there is a lot going on, a lot of storytelling, and we spent, what do you think we spent, 30 minutes going through there?
I'm not sure. It's... Time stands still when you're in the Villains Grove. I'm not sure how long it actually was when we were in there, but we definitely, I mean, we walked very slowly, took our time. Amazing. It may have been close to 20, 30 minutes.
So there's a couple scenes I want to call out as amazing, and I didn't even know what to expect. So first of all, if you've watched videos or seen pictures, I guarantee you it is nothing like what you've seen in pictures or videos, because I tried my darndest to take videos and pictures with my camera phone and tried to capture what I was seeing. And there is, like, I'm looking at the screen and I'm looking at reality, and they are not the same thing.
Yeah, they just, the photos and videos just can't do this experience justice.
But the two areas that I thought were absolutely fantastically amazing was there's an Evil Queen section that they have set up where, because of the way they did the lighting and everything, there's some laser effects that make it look like there are clouds. Mm-hmm. There are some lighting effects that make it look like it's raining and lightning is hitting things. It is just fantastic. The area right after that is a bunch of laser effects that look like a bunch of, like, fairies in
the
trees and stuff.
I think they're supposed to be, like, the Will of the Wisps.
It's so amazing. And then the finale is this area that looks like it has all these, like, little candles or little flames up in the trees. And there was an area at the end, which I think is kind of funny, but they have this light. Because you go through this tree at the end, and there's this light that comes through. And I told Teresa, I said, I think I've died. She goes, what? I go, I'm heading towards the light.
It's foggy, and I'm heading towards this bright, beautiful light. It's just,
We went through it twice, and it was worth it both times. It is worth the time. It is worth the wait. It's worth the effort. We did hear that if you went through it when the parade was going, you could get into it quicker. So you do with that what you will. I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. It was everything I hoped it would be.
I'm so happy that it, like, lived up to your expectations. Because sometimes you see stuff and you get this thing in your mind, right? That you're going to be like, oh, this is amazing. I knew it was amazing. But sometimes you still, like, hype stuff up so much that you're like, oh, okay, you know. But, yeah.
Well, and part
great
of it is, like I said, I had watched videos of it. It doesn't capture, it captures less than half of what is there. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Don't get me wrong. Videos and photos of this place are still awesome and great, and they still look so cool, but it just doesn't do it justice. And that's saying something, because like right I said,
yeah.
I posted some videos on our Instagram and our Facebook, and they look great, but just still not as good as real life. It's just incredible. So after Villains Grove, we did a couple more treat trails because we were trying to hit up as many as we could. We went over and tried to see Maleficent, but she was on break trying to, I don't know if she turned into a dragon,
yeah,
or if she was trying to like wrangle her goons or what happened, but she was not there when we went through, which was okay.
We saw the Evil Queen.
We did go back later and we did get to see the Mistress of Evil later in the evening. So
she's
it was just,
amazing.
Just, I guess it was an excuse for us to get more candy. After that, we saw the Evil Queen. And then after the Evil Queen, we went to see Cruella. She was fabulous. That was just a great... The area that she's set up in was just great because you could see her pretty much for most of the queue. So you yeah. really got to experience all of the fun things that she was doing and all the beautiful dresses of hers and designs of hers that were up on stage with her.
Yeah. Hers was good. We just had a strange situation because it seemed like the time we went over there, there was a lot of, because of the way the queue switchbacks and the treat trail kind of switchbacks, one of the weird things that kept happening in a bunch of treat trails is they'd have, like, at the beginning, they'd say, there's two lines, you go on either side, but then the next one would only be one cast member, so everybody would have to merge back, and then they'd split again. So that was a little weird. But for this treat trail, because of the switchbacks, we happened to be in there when there was a lot of people with strollers, there was a lot of electronic convenience vehicles, and it was causing
tight.
A lot of weirdness.
The switchbacks were tight, so it was really difficult for people to be able to maneuver with with these. So I felt bad for them because it wasn't like they were doing anything on purpose, and obviously everyone's so like enthralled with Cruella and her amazingness. So it's just a little, that one was a little tighter to navigate through, so it made it more difficult.
Yeah, so for the end of the night, the only treat trail we were not able to go on was we didn't see Dr. Facilier because by the time we went over there, the parade was about to start, and of course, he's in the parade.
Yeah, so he had to leave his treat trail so that he could be on his amazing float in the parade.
Yeah, so we didn't get to see him, but we got to see everybody else. I counted. I got 148 pieces of candy. Teresa, you weighed it.
I weighed mine. I got five. I think it was like 5.2 pounds. It was funny. We were joking about this. We're staying at the Anaheim Hotel. First time for both of us staying there. And we were laughing because we're like, why is there a... This is interesting. There's never a scale in the bathrooms at hotels. But for some reason, there's a scale in this hotel bathroom. That's kind of whatever. We're not going to use that. Well, on the walk back, I'm like, you know what? We've got a scale. I'm going to weigh my candy. So I weighed my candy. 5.2 pounds. Not bad.
So for those of you who have not been to Oogie Boogie Bash, one thing to know about the treat trails and the candy and everything is not only is there a lot of sweets and candy, you can also tell the people if you have any type of allergies, they'll give you different ones. But also, they gave out good things for you. They gave out some apple pieces. They gave out some apple sauce.
Yeah, sauce, like squeeze packets.
Yeah, like squeeze packets. They gave out some grapes, which were like the best grapes I've ever had in my life. but I would recommend any of those things, eat them that night or like the next day because they're not going to stay good for long.
Well, and the other thing too is we were having to kind of like rearrange our candy situation because of these grapes and apples. There was also sun chips and different, what else? There? Goldfish. There were these little graham cracker things. I was afraid of them getting squished, so I had to try to keep pushing them up to the top. My other tip that I want to tell everyone is if you are unprepared like I was, and the only bag that you have is your tiny backpack and the little bag that they give you for trick-or-treating, that is not going to cut it with the amount of candy that they give you. I actually ducked into one of the shops and just kindly asked a cast member, hey, I'm really sorry, do you have a plastic bag that I can use? And it actually worked out pretty well because since they have those clear bags that they use for the in-store shopping, she was able to hand me one of those, and they actually are really nice. They have like a reinforced handle on them. They were clear so that if I went into a store, cast members could see like, nope, it's her candy peg. It's not that she's, you know, doing anything weird or anything. So it was really nice. I think that was something that a lot of people felt that like they had to go buy a tote bag or buy some sort of bag to then get the stuff in. Previously, I'd actually just bought one of the reusable shopping bags to put my candy in. But this year it was nice. I didn't have to purchase something that I could just use a plastic bag.
Yeah, and I brought my backpack, and after every trail, I just dumped everything in my backpack. And at the end of the night, my backpack was full.
It was funny, because we were like, oh, here, you take that pocket for your candy, and I'll take this pocket, and we'll put... No, there was not even enough room in a normal-sized backpack to fit both of our candy loads, and it was insane. Lots of candy.
So one of the other things we did some part during the night was we rode Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark, which it was kind of interesting. So we went in, it was there was no wait almost. We went in, we got put into that first room with Rocket, and there was probably six of us in there. It was me and Teresa and like four other random guests. And one of the guests was starting to freak us out because she was like, this is so much more intense than the regular one. And it's a, she kept saying intense over and over.
Well, and she said, oh, the first drop, it's really like, ooh. And we're so like, oh my God, what are we getting into?
Then I freaked out because we the way we got placed, I ended up being in the front row and I ended up being on an aisle seat, which I like the back corner. So it was like the furthest from what I like. So I am gripping everything. And there was a section. The one thing that I want to point out was there was a section of this where we did not know if we were going up or literally we did not know if we were going up or down. We could
knew
not,
we
like,
were moving.
Yeah,
that was it.
So I was like, did we just go up or down? Like, we didn't know. But it was good. It was really good and enjoyable. It is a little more intense.
Yeah, I would describe it as if you took Tower, like the old version of Tower of Terror, and like the new version of Guardians of the Galaxy, and you somehow found a halfway point between the two. There was still some of the, like, bouncy kind of airlessness, or, like, how do I want to say it? Some of the, where you kind of are, like, your butt's off the seat that...
Oh, your airtime.
Yeah. You have more airtime like you did in, like you do in Guardians, but there was a lot more, it was a little bit more extreme with the drops.
Yeah.
It wasn't as, like, bouncy and fun as Guardians is. So, yeah, it was just interesting. Like Teg said, that was weird. The... I don't know if it was a lighting effect or if we were just confused, and I don't know. But I would say definitely give it a go. I didn't like it as much as the normal Guardians just because it wasn't the same fun. It was still fun, but just wasn't the same
fun. It was more thrilling and less story.
Yes. It was. We weren't, like, laughing like we do on Guardians. This was more... This felt more like a tower thing. But it was fun.
So that was kind of our Oogie Boogie night. Now, next week we'll talk about today, the day we're actually recording this, and we'll talk about our last day, which will be tomorrow, for next week's episode. So overall, I think so far the weather has been great since we've been here. It's been like in the 70s, so
fantastic.
It's been beautiful. Today is overcast, but still comfortable. We also, the crowds feel
the
almost
Twain.
Back to normal. So it has been busy.
It's been busy, but like I've been telling people that have reached out to us on social media that have asked about the crowds, it feels congested in areas of the park, but the wait times haven't been terrible.
No.
So even wait times are posted as longer than they are. We just got off of Indy, and I think Indy was like a 50 or 55 minute wait. We probably walked through in like 30 minutes.
Or less.
Or less. So the wait times haven't been bad. We have had... The longest waits we've had as far as lines go is for food items. I waited, I think it was 40 minutes this morning for coffee over in DCA. I'm going to just say this right now. The problem with DCA is there's the coffee cart that's like back towards the pier in that area by the pin trading booth is closed right now. So literally the only option for a like coffee drink is Fiddler and Fife. We did find out that there is a cold brew coffee at PIM, but I was already like, there's only three people or six people in front of me by the time we realized that. So it's too late. We were already committed. But there's only the one place to get coffee. So of course the line's going to be very crazy because that's the only one option. Whereas you want to order a churro, you've got lots and lots of options. Or popcorn, there's tons of options. So I do wish that they would have more options for coffee, because it's obviously a very popular thing for guests to go and enjoy.
So next week, like I said, the end of this episode here, we don't have any trivia or anything this week. It is a little bit of a shorter episode. We are in the park. We actually have to wrap things up because we have to get over. Our boarding group came up in the middle of all of this. So we're going to head over and get on Rise of the Resistance here in a minute. And then we've got to go over to DCA because over in DCA we have reservations at
the Magic Key Terrace.
The Magic Key Terrace. So
since
we'll
we're
let
official
you guys
now,
know all about that stuff next week. So thanks for listening. If you want to be a supporter, go to dealweekly.net/support and join. We're only 2 weekly tiers as of this recording away from 200.
It's exciting.
It'd be amazing to hit 200. Again, thank you to all the people who showed up for our meetup. It was amazing seeing all of you guys. Everything was wonderful. And we look forward to having another one in the future. So
we're going to go out and enjoy the park.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.